98.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho, broadcasting online at krfy.org.
Good morning. You've tuned into the KRFY morning show on Thursday, May the 19th, the first day of the Lost in the 50s weekend, 2016. And thank you for joining us today. I'm Jack in the studio. Not so lonesome, Jack, because we have a guest host. Carrie Logan is back in the studio. Nice
Good
to see
morning.
You.
Nice to be here.
Yes. Your microphone is on. We are all awake. We are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and also in the studio right now is Bill Collier, who's here to discuss the upcoming Brew Raw event, which is sort of a part of Lost in the 50s. And then later on in the hour, Patricia Walker-White will be here to talk about some upcoming events at the Panada Theater as well. But first and foremost, let's talk about the weather, which is on everybody's mind. As of this morning, according to the National Weather Service, the forecast is... it's not terrible. We have a 30% chance of showers today and patchy fog with a high of only about 59 degrees today here in Sandpoint. Tonight, it does look like there's a chance of thunderstorms and then patchy fog again. That those thunderstorms last night, it sounds like, will still just be hanging out. And Carrie Logan saw a black cloud on the horizon already.
Brought my raincoat just in case.
Mm-hmm. It could happen. Tomorrow, slight chance of showers and patchy fog. I guess we were talking about that beforehand. So hopefully the weather will hold tomorrow. It's only a 20% chance of showers and the high is in the mid to upper 60s. So we might have nice weather for that parade tomorrow evening. Saturday, I'm not sure you want to hear about it, but it looks like an 80% chance of showers and a high in the mid-50s and more of the same for Sunday.
But you know what I've noticed about weather lately? When it gets to Sandpoint, it kind of splits and it goes mm-hmm. to the north and to the south and skirts us. So I think that's what's going to happen for Lost in the 50s weekend.
You're probably right. Yeah. And if everyone in town crosses their fingers yep. at the same time, then...
Yep. Yes. Maybe you could give us a countdown to cross our fingers.
Yes. Yeah, we'll time it. Stay tuned to this radio station all day for that fingers crossing countdown. Speaking of staying tuned to this radio station, we are playing 50s music commercial free all day long starting at 9 a.m. today. We'll have DJs in the studio for most, if not all of it. And you can even call in your requests if you want to talk to somebody. 208-265-2992. That starts at 9 o'clock. Right now, that other voice in the studio was Bill Collier, the Senior Vice Commandant of the Marine Corps League. And good morning, Bill.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
And the event that brings you in specifically this time is the Brew Raw.
Brew Raw. Marines are known for saying oorah, so when we decided to have a microbrewery beer tasting, our leader who's in charge of this project came up with brew-rah.
I think
that's very clever.
Yeah.
And it's our first ever annual. We hope it's going to be an annual thing in conjunction with the Lost in 50s car show. And it's our big fundraiser for the Marine Corps League where we raise money to help veterans.
This is, as you said, the first annual. Who came up with this idea, and how long you've been planning this?
Actually, we started planning it about 6 months ago, and the guy's name is John Pugh, and he just came up with the idea. He'd seen it done elsewhere, and he started checking into it to see what it took to put it together, and it's fallen into place very well.
It's a great idea.
It is.
What are the vital statistics?
Well, statistics are it's happening Friday evening, 4 to 9 p.m., First, I should give the location right at the corner of 3rd and Cedar in the parking lot of the Bonner General Hospital.
Right.
And It will be well marked by this crusty old military helicopter that will be sitting on the street right in front of the spot. So it'll be easy to find, and right across from Ponderay Winery. And Friday from 4 to 9 p.m., Saturday from 10 until 5 p.m., and it's $15, which includes 6 brew samples and a souvenir beer glass with the Marine Corps logo on it. And the flyer I have in my hand that I'm reading from says, if you bring this flyer, you get one free sample of 3 ounces. So for $15, you can get 7 samples.
Well, we got to find those flyers around town.
Yeah, they're posted around town, and we're going to have Marine recruits who haven't yet been taken off to boot camp. They're going to be running around town handing out flyers to everybody. On Saturday. I'm not sure about Friday night.
Yeah. How many folks are going to be involved? How many volunteers do you have on the...
I don't know, but I think it's not enough.
Yeah.
If anybody out there wants to come and volunteer, just come on down. I know it's going to take about 45 people total, and we're trying to break it down to 2-hour shifts so nobody gets stuck there all day.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure some people will put in 4-, 6-, 8-hour shifts. And... my brother drove all the way up from California just to be of assistance this weekend. So that's fun.
So he's a former Marine also?
He's a former Air Force Airman.
Oh, okay.
But he helped me with the helicopter project for several times. Uh-huh. And he comes visit. So it was a good excuse for him to come visit.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
How much beer do you guys have?
We have lots.
You were
if we
prepared.
Sell all the beer we have, we're going to make a lot of money. And all that money will go towards veterans, helping veterans in need. And that's what we do. That's what we're about.
Well, let's find out the microbreweries that are participating in this.
That's secret. I can't divulge that.
Seriously?
No. Truth is, I don't know.
Oh.
You played that.
We initially had 15 signed up, and I think 2 have dropped out, so we only have 13. But that's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah. Do you know where they're from? From around here? Or?
The general area.
Yeah,
Spokane and as far as maybe Missoula.
Oh,
so should be some good beers to taste.
Cool.
Yeah. This is a great area.
People are so into that, you know, that's a really good opportunity. So tell us about the purpose of raising this money. You kind of alluded to some of the projects that the Marine League participates in.
Yes. In the past year or two, we have built wheelchair ramps, more than one, for handicapped people and helped create handicapped bathrooms. We've replaced partial or full roofs for veterans who have the need. We, in one case, a veteran in Clark Fork, his septic system clogged up, and he called the septic pumping service, and they said, oh, we can't get to you for 2 weeks. And this poor guy was going to have to go for 2 weeks without a toilet, basically. And the former commandant, Bob Rutherford, called so-and-so septic company. I wish I could remember the name. I don't remember which company it was. And he said he was a veteran, and we had a veteran in need. And he said, I'll be there this afternoon.
Wow.
So just that little bit of pull. And then he didn't charge.
Wow.
And then we've actually, sometimes a veteran will run out of money at the end of the month in the winter and be getting cold and need to fill his propane tank. We do that sort of thing. We'll just call the tanker people and say, fill this man's tank, and we'll pay for it. We deliver many cords of firewood over the winter, every winter. We have a wood cutting lot. We get trees hauled in, we cut them, we chop them, we let them age, and then we deliver. We have a really amusing anecdote about that if we have time, but not right now. We help people move. We pay utility bills. We help people get in the process for applying for veterans benefits with the Veterans Administration. We help drive people back and forth to the Veterans Hospital and to assisted living facilities. And one of our big deals is we do the color guard and the rifle squad at veterans' funerals. And we get all decked out in our best uniforms, and we shoot the rifle and give them honors as they're buried. And another fun thing we do is every veteran we can find who's in an assisted living facility gets a lap warming blanket with his service logo on it.
Oh.
And we buy those and distribute them for free.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this is veterans, not just Marines.
Oh, any
branch
veteran
of the service.
It doesn't matter. If you've served and you've got your, what they call a DD-214, mm-hmm. which is your certificate of having served, you get service. And also widows. If you're the widow of a veteran and you have a need, give us a call.
Okay. How does somebody reach you?
That's a very good question. I'll just give my personal phone number because I don't know what number you would normally call. The Daily Bee puts out a little magazine of all the stuff that's going on in the county. It's free as you walk in the door. Just a few days ago, I went over there and gave them a list of all the veterans organizations. So soon that will be in that publication. But it hasn't been there till now.
Are you guys hooked up with a community resource center? That might be a good place you might want to put your information in, because they act as a clearinghouse for services. So somebody would call up and say, so-and-so's septic tank is failing, you know.
I think we are.
Okay.
And
okay,
the reason we do that is because, and we have also a veterans council. There are 19 veterans organizations in this county.
Wow.
And we have a central meeting once a month. The leader of each group goes to the veterans council meeting for the very purpose of keeping people from taking advantage of the system.
Right.
In the past, someone would go to this church and that veterans organization and that one, that one, that one. And they'd get help from all of them. Well, they were just basically serial ripping off the organizations. So now we have a central authority, so to speak, that just keeps track. And so then we know when, before we give anybody any big chunk of money, we go to the Veterans Council and we make sure that this person hasn't already gotten help from some other place.
Sure.
Not that we don't want to help them, but we don't want to waste our money helping some guy four times when there are other people who, three other people who need help.
Right. Good
so
plan.
So let me get my phone number just in case someone out there is in need. That's 208-610-0873. And that's Bill Collier, 208-610-0873. If you know any veteran or widow of a veteran who needs help. And we also do scholarships sometimes. We haven't really worked that out yet, but we have done scholarships too.
Yeah.
There's a group here called the Experimental Aircraft Association.
Uh-huh.
And they exist solely for the purpose of people interested in aviation getting together and sharing stories and such. But the financial thrust of that organization is to gather money and help youngsters learn to be pilots. And we have contributed to that.
Very nice.
It is.
We
have actually, the EAA has actually put kids all the way through commercial license, and they're now working commercially.
Wow.
And if any youngsters out there think you might want to be a pilot, it's a great job. And the EAA will help you in the spring.
Is that what you retired from? Were you a commercial pilot?
I was a commercial helicopter pilot.
Okay, wow.
All around the world doing helicopter work.
Oh.
And you never see helicopters because they don't work where you see them.
Right.
They work where trucks and buses and taxis can't go. So on the North Slope in Alaska, or logging in Alaska, or I worked in the South Pacific, I worked in almost a remote place, Tennessee, and I worked in Saudi Arabia for a while. I got all over the world. It was great fun. I'm writing books about it.
Oh, cool.
Can I plug my book?
Yeah. You were in here once before talking about that.
Yeah, I wrote my book called The Adventures of a Helicopter Pilot, Flying the H-34 in Vietnam for the United States Marine Corps. It's available at local bookstores and Superdrug, Fiddlin' Red's Music Shop, the Surplus Store on 5th, and Iluna's, and a few other places.
Yeah.
Get around.
Are you working on another one?
I am working on another one. After I got out of the service in 68, the airlines were laying off. There were no jobs. I could not get a job flying commercially like airlines.
Uh-huh.
And so I got this application somehow from this little company called Air America,
which was
the air arm of the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Laos. There was a whole second little war going on in Laos across the other side of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And I worked there for 2.5 years. And that was grand adventure. It really was. I can't talk about too much what we did, but I write it. I've written it all down, so you have to buy my book.
Well, it sounds fascinating. When it comes out, you'll have to come
I'm hoping
back
to get it done by August.
I've gotten
bogged down with so many fun activities this summer. I don't know if I'll get it done even this year, but I'm hoping to get it done by August.
Yeah.
So one of your personal projects associated with the Marine League is the restoration of the H-34 Charlie.
Right.
So talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. A couple of five years ago now, I got an email from a friend. And in Arizona, there was a whole field full of these broken down old hulks that if they didn't get adopted soon, they were going to get shredded. And since I flew this helicopter more than half of my entire 32-year career, I became very attached to it. And most of the guys who did fly it were very attached to it. Just a good old machine. So I started trying to figure out how to rescue one of these Hulks. And I called the guy who was in charge, and we talked back and forth several times. And to make a long story short, I finally committed to buy one of these old Hulks. And that's when my wife says, "You committed to buying a helicopter? I'm going to have you committed."
So you personally just...
What I did is I went to the Vietnam Vets of America and told them the idea and the project. My first vision was having that helicopter on a pedestal above the VFW hall at Pine and Division. But then I went to the city and they said, "No, if you have something like that on a pedestal, you have to have the entire area around it has to be clear in case it falls off." So I mean, that would take up the entire parking lot of the VFW hall. So we couldn't do that. So then I looked around for another place. Right now, thank you, Pondering Mechanical. They are allowing us to store the helicopter in a side drive right next to Burger Express. And it's there. It's a little hard to see because the buildings block it going one way and the trees block it the other. But it's there.
Yeah, if you know where to look, I see it all the time.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So we got it, and it was basically a basket case. All the pieces came detached. We had to put it all back together. But we have it just for looks. We're not ever going to try to make it fly. It's way too far gone. But we have fun with it. We take it to the Lawson 50s parade and on display with the old cars. It's a 57 model, after all. And then we used to take it to the stand down. We take it to the 4th of July parade. We take it to the Marine Corps birthday luncheon every November, which is usually at Tango. So if any Marines out there would like to join the Marine Corps League, come on down or call me with that same number I gave out before, 610-0873. And I guess I'm representing several different things here today.
Yeah, you are. Lots of hats. Switch those babies back and forth.
Do you know how many veterans there are in the area? You mentioned 19 organizations.
Yes.
Do you have a ballpark for how many veterans those...
No, I don't.
Service?
I don't. No. Sorry. It's a bigger number than you would expect. It's in the thousands.
Yeah. I know. It seems like per capita, you meet a lot of guys here.
Yes.
Served.
We should look on the census data. I think census data has that statistic.
I think so. It might even be in that magazine I talked about that B does has all the statistics for the county. I think I've seen it in there. I do remember the number that... and this is 5 years old information, maybe, that all the retired and disabled veterans in the county bring in $18 million into the local economy.
Oh, from VA benefits?
Yes. And I think with our new veteran service officer, Brian Holt, I think he's increased that greatly. He's doing a bang-up job. Fantastic job.
Yeah, I met him recently at a meeting regarding the mental health crisis line. And how veterans could access that. Nice guy.
Yes, he certainly is. Retired Air Force Brigadier General. He's taken that bureaucratic paperwork ability and really knows how to use the system and make it work for everybody.
Yeah.
So he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
I think we got time. What were you going to say about firewood a minute ago?
Well, we have a firewood lot. And at various times, we gather somehow. Some people just bring them. When they're clearing a lot for building or something, they deliver logs to us, trees, entire trees, and a place up in Culver Road. One of our members of the Vietnam Vets has a big yard, and he just said, "Do the firewood lot here." We cut the trees up into firewood stove lengths, and then we split them, and we stack them and let them dry. And we have a whole row of dried and not yet dried wood. So when someone calls up with the need, we will deliver 2 cords of firewood to anybody, veteran or widow.
That's quite a bit of work.
It's a lot of work, yes.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where we're all getting old and we're getting tired and we need new members, younger members, and more energy to continue doing all these things.
Yeah. You would think there will be new members joining, one would hope.
Yes, we do get new members, new veterans.
Usually
when a guy's young enough to have a lot of vigor, he's still working and he has a job.
Sure.
And it's hard for him to make meetings because we have meetings during the week, during the day. And so it's a contradiction because we need new members, but we're not very convenient for them. Mm-hmm. And we've tried doing night meetings, and then we lose members because they don't want to drive around in the snow in the winter. So.
Sure.
How long have you been, I think you might have mentioned this before, but how long have you been involved in the Marine Corps League?
I moved here 8 years ago,
right,
come August, and I wanted to meet people and make friends. So mm-hmm. I went down and looked up the two organizations that interested me the most, and that was the Vietnam Vets of America and the Marine Corps League.
Yeah.
And jumped in and got busy and became an appointed officer. Someone wanted to resign a position, so I took it and just got involved. Made friends and mm-hmm. history from there.
Yeah. Rewarding experience for you?
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice guys.
How often do you guys meet?
We meet once a month.
Yeah.
We meet at the Marine Corps League meets at 9:00 in the morning at the VFW Hall on the third Wednesday. And 3 hours later, the Vietnam Vets of America meet at the same place at noon.
Oh.
So it's real convenient. About the time we finish the first meeting, it's time for the second meeting.
That works out.
So you can go from coffee to lunch.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is at the VFW?
Yes.
So if there's a Marine out there, who can he just drop by?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be, you said the third Wednesday of every month?
Third Wednesday of every month, 9:00 in the morning.
At the VFW?
Yes.
It's an appropriate
Pine
place
and Division.
For it. Yeah. What's the regular meeting like?
Just kind of like any organization. We have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and then we have a moment of silence or a prayer, depending if our chaplain is there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have minutes from the previous meeting and the treasurer's report and a new business and old business. And it can bog down sometimes. But then we get some pretty interesting projects going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we pull together and we work on them.
Yeah.
And you have about 60 or 70 members of the Marine Corps League right now?
Yes.
Okay.
And for an organization with only 60 or 70 members, we get 18 or 20 members at a meeting, which
wow.
is phenomenal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's terrific.
Usually if you get 20%, that's a high number.
Right.
And with the Vietnam Vets, it's slipped down to less than that. So, But it's fun. We all enjoy each other's company, and we go do fun stuff together.
Yeah. Like the Brew Ra.
The Brew Ra, yeah. Brew Ra. Friday from 4 until 9 p.m. at the corner of 3rd and Cedar. Saturday from 10 until 5 p.m. Same place. You can get 6 brew samples and a souvenir beer glass for only $15. And if our flyers will be all around town on Saturday. If you're bringing a flyer, you'll get a free 3-ounce sample. All the money raised goes to help veterans in need.
That's on the parade route, right? Is it?
Yes, it mm-hmm. is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm
guessing the helicopter will lead the parade again this year, and it's not even going to finish the parade because I think we're just going to pull over and stop right there in front of the hospital and put out the cones and call it a day. And
what do you pull it with?
Almost anything. It's just
got
wheels.
Just it's on a trailer. Oh, it's not
has
on a trailer.
Wheels.
It's on its own
trailer.
Wheels. Mm-hmm.
And it's easy. Only weighs. It's big and huge. It looks like it would be really heavy. It's really only about 5,000 pounds.
Yeah. Well, it's got to fly.
Yeah. And it has no motor, which is 1,500
right.
pounds gone.
Uh-huh.
So we just pull it around and unhook it and leave it there.
Mm-hmm. Had to fly, I guess, we should say.
So that helicopter in Vietnam was used to haul materials and people. And
yes.
What was its purpose?
We had about 8 different missions in Vietnam. And in the Marine Corps, since we were a small unit, we did something different every day. And we just kind of went through the cycle until we got back to the same thing. So we would do administration runs where we'd fly down to Da Nang from our base to get mail and supplies and parts. We always need lots of parts and beer sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day we might do what they call the recon overfly, where we'd go out someplace where they were thinking of doing an insert and putting in some troops. And we might overfly that so the officers on board could get a good idea of the terrain. And then the next day we might take a load of troops out to that same spot and drop them off. Once the troops are out in the field for a few days, they need resupply. They need food. They desperately need water. If they get any action at all, they desperately need more ammunition, more mortars. And if they really get into some action, people get wounded, they get killed, then we go in and carry the wounded and dead home. So it was a very, and there were other projects too. Sometimes we had to do these things at night.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes under heavy fire, but fortunately, I never had a real bad situation like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about the specific history of the helicopter you guys have here in town?
This particular one never was in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. The list of helicopters that I got had all of the serial numbers, and there were six that had been in Vietnam. But then I checked my logbook, and there was nothing that I had ever flown. Had there been one that I had flown, I would own it personally. The one we have here, it spent most of its active life in Europe.
Oh.
And I have a little bit of information about different places it was overhauled. I don't have the flight records for it yet. And then it came back to the Wisconsin National Guard and flew the rest of its life. And the Wisconsin National Guard had 19 years active service. And then just like any other veteran, it got stuck out in the desert and ignored and left alone and sat there gathering dirt for about 20 years. It had 3 inches of sediment in the bilge when I got it. I had to hoist it all out.
So do you still fly helicopters?
I don't know. I'm firmly convinced that that's not safe.
Okay.
I'm firmly convinced mankind was never meant to fly. After 7,000 hours and 32 years. It's not safe doing that stuff.
Sometimes it just takes a little experience before you can really be sure about something like that, I guess. Well,
writing the first book I wrote and then working on the second one, I realized how many times I came just a whisker from death. And I said, this is not conducive to longevity.
I was going to ask earlier, you mentioned that you guys get together and plan fun projects like the Brew Raw. You got anything else in the works right now, or is it all focused
here? Yeah, we do. July 9th. We're having a Veteran Marine Corps League picnic. Anybody would love to come and join us for a picnic at what's that campground park out in Laclede? Ridley, something like that.
I'm thinking the mud hole. But.
No, on this side, right. You turn right across from the gas station in Laclede,
and you go down. Riley Creek.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten that. So we're having on July 9th. We're having a picnic there. And that's going to be a lot of fun, just to get together with the guys and just visit and get to know each other better and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the fall, the Vietnam vets are in charge of this, but we're having a golf scramble at the Elks Golf Course. And that's another big fundraiser for all the veterans organizations. We all work on this together and gather money to help veterans. And it's a golf scramble.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who golf know what a scramble is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you don't, come on out. It's real quick and real easy. And if you're not a good golf player, it doesn't matter because you're worked up with a team who will assist you.
Right. It's the only way to play.
And it goes by really fast, and it's a lot of fun.
And that's not till the fall. But
that's in September.
September.
I'm looking for the date here.
You guys have done that one before, though.
We've done that several years. Mm-hmm. We've raised, I think, $6,000 or more. And again, that all goes into our kitty and all goes to, that's September 18th, Sunday at 9 o'clock at the Vets, at the Elks Golf Course.
Nice. Who do you do, or what organization do you sign up for that with? Do you know?
You can call the Elks, or you can call the Vietnam Vets, or you can call the Marine Corps League.
Sure.
And I think the VFW is involved in, the VFW is involved in that too.
Big group.
Yeah.
Do you have to be a vet to play?
No, do not.
Oh, nice.
Are you a golfer, Jack?
I'm a terrible golfer, but I could play in a scramble. You just need one good shot to, to be worth your salt on the team.
My philosophy about golf has been, for as much as it costs, it should be based on who gets the most strokes rather than the least strokes.
Yeah.
Some value out of it.
That's true. Yes, it should. One more time. The Brew Raw is this weekend, and it's, I think you said 4 to 9. It's right on the parade route. You could go and hang out and have some beers and watch the cars from right there.
That's a good thought. I hadn't thought of that. Excellent idea.
Yeah.
And even if it's raining, we have a great big tent. You'll be out of the rain.
Oh, another perk.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like
a
place to be.
Come on down, stay dry on the outside and get wet on the inside.
Responsibly wet.
Yes, naturally. And then it's on Saturday as well.
It is Saturday from 10 till 5.
Bill, always nice to see you and talk to you. And
absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Nice meeting you, Bill.
Nice meeting you, Carrie.
Yeah, come back when you have that second book. We'll be sure to talk about
I'll
that.
I'll let you know.
Okay. It was 50 years ago this week that the Beach Boys released Pet Sounds. Did you know that? You're sort of a Beach Boys fan.
Oh, very much, yes.
Yeah.
Beach Boys, Beatles, and Peter, Paul, and Mary. That's my music.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 50 years ago that Pet Sounds was released. It's been called, among other acclamations, it's been called the second greatest album of all time by Rolling Stone magazine. There's a couple hits on it, but it's all good, and this is one maybe you haven't heard before or in a while. And seems appropriate for our topic of conversation. We'll be back.
Marines?
No, it's called I Just Wasn't Made for These Times from Pet Sounds. And I'll play that right away. We'll be back with Patricia Walker-White and at least one more. I think I saw Eric around there talking about the upcoming Dinner Theater and more at the Panada. Stay tuned. The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. That's the Beach Boys. You're listening to the Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. And that little short instrumental number was called Let's Go Away for a While. And Brian Wilson thinks it might be the best thing he ever wrote. How about that? celebrating the 50th anniversary of Pet Sounds, which came out, May 16th, 1966, 50 years ago this week. And I got friends who say that it's not a very good album, but I disagree. I think it holds up pretty well, even setting aside its historical import. But let's talk with Patricia Walker-White and Eric Bond about what's going on over at the Panada. Something new at the Panada Theater. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Hi.
We've got all sorts of things that we could talk about, but specifically, Dinner Theater. Has this ever been done at the Panada before?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah,
and it's
me
been
neither.
On my list since I arrived here, and so we are just now getting to the stage where we can implement it in the little theater.
Mm-hmm. It's been on your list? Is this is mm-hmm. something you kind of came in with and...
It was on my list of, things I wanted to do coming up, and Teresa Pesci came in the office one day and said, I have some scripts that I wrote, and they'd be perfect for Dinner Theater. So we decided to kick it off and get it started, and so Teresa Pesci wrote those. She's local, a local playwright and director, and then she actually just got a job out of town, so... She left us the scripts to perform and picked the cream of the crop for actors in our area to come in and perform.
All right. Cream of the crop, huh?
Cream of the crop. No pressure. No pressure, Eric. But people love to watch. The people that are there on stage are people that, we all go watch in other productions. So it was really fantastic to get to have them come to the stage of the Panada again. And they've been to the stage of the Panada before, but this is a different style in the little theater because it's a little more intimate.
It's a very intimate setting. We did a show, the last time I was on that stage was a tiny, it was I guess 6 years ago, I think it was. We did a show about the murder at the castle, this murder mystery thing. And we actually way back then even talked about it would be great to have a dinner theater here. And it's cool to see this now, 6 years later, an actual thing happening. But yeah, that theater's a lot more in your face and intimate than your typical big stage production. So you feel like you're part of the action when you're watching something from in there.
So tell us when are we talking about doing this?
So next Tuesday and Thursday. So what we set up was the last week of every month, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then if it gets sold out, because we only have a certain number of seats in there, that we'll hold it over. and do it an additional time. But for now, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, the end of the month, and it will rotate between live theater and film. So next month, it will be Cinema Paradiso and a French dinner. And then after that, we have, you know, some murder mystery things coming up as well. We're going to incorporate a little bit of that and maybe some other genres. So
like 7 o'clock-ish or?
6 o'clock.
6
so
p.m.
5:30, the doors open and you can come have a cocktail. We were afraid 7 was kind of pushing the dinner hour out. So since we're having dinner, we're going to have dinner first and have, you know, a little conversation. And then the play will start after dinner and they will perform during dessert.
Do you just come in the main doors? It just occurred to me. Where do you go in?
In the little theater?
Yeah.
You come in next to the POAC gallery. There's a little side door.
And then go back down that long hallway.
If you didn't know where you're going, when I first was told to go to the little theater, you see the sign, but I always thought there was a secret entrance inside the main entrance too. So
yeah,
but it's right to the left, just left and right, and you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the history to know if that's where you entered the bar, but I'm guessing it isn't. Because of the number of people that don't know where it's at. But back when it was a wine bar and then before that.
It was Kamloops.
Kamloops. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure where those entry points were, but is the little side door next to the gallery.
As Eric's taking a drink of water, I was just going to turn to him. And
delicious.
Say, yeah. How'd you get involved? Who gave you a call and said, come down?
I've been helping out in the past year since I've been here with some productions. I think last time I was in this room, we were about to do Rocky Horror Picture Show. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I had golden locks. But we've been talking with Teresa, and she wrote these scripts, and she's been wanting to somehow incorporate them. And they're small scripts. One of them is 20 minutes long. One of them is about 10 minutes. So it's a solid 30 minutes of theater. And so you can't put that on a big stage because you need a big show. So how do you do that? You do small one acts in a dinner theater, a small intimate setting. And so Teresa's been bouncing around and we have been talking about it before. And she talked to Patricia and the ball just started rolling. And she asked a handful of us if we just wanted to just take these and do it. And we all were no reluctance. We just went for it. So, and it's really, they're really great. It's, I don't know if she had said the theme, it's kind of a Twilight Zone, spooky theme. And so, and I like the fact that they're going to keep this theming of it going forward. So, so then we just started rehearsing like a few weeks ago and it's going to be, good.
How big's the cast? How many people?
There's only 5 of us.
Yeah.
And Skye Alexander is one of the, she's the brave female of the crew, and she's actually the one that said Twilight meets Friends. She described it, which is, you know, a little, kind of wraps it up just a little bit. But there's some talented people.
Not Twilight meets Friends, not vampires.
Twilight Zone. Just to make sure we get that. Thank you, Eric, because no vampires involved in this one. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Twilight Zone.
Yeah, in one show, it's about a man and woman and their relationship, and spookily, myself and Skye. And then the other one, it's about a group of friends mourning the loss of another friend coming from a funeral and the craziness that ensues there. And it's myself. It is
Seneca.
Seneca Cummings. We have Mike Clark and Jeremiah Bigley. Or is that?
No.
Jeremiah Sorry. Clark. Sorry. I was obviously the last name wrong. But Jeremiah plays, again, the dominating figure. Because he has that presence about him. So.
And then Michael Bigley's been kind of behind the scenes.
Michael Bigley, that's why.
He's been helping behind the scenes. So he's the one you don't see, but he's helped since Teresa left. So
you've been rehearsing, but I imagine you haven't rehearsed with food in the
not,
room.
Not yet.
No, we did set up a table with food so we could pretend last night. So.
Yeah.
And we have some pictures we'll be posting on our Facebook page of the rehearsal and the menu, it's catered. So it's a great menu.
Who's doing the catering?
So the caterers will rotate as well, so that we can bring in different things that match the theme. So this is Bistro at Home that's going to do this one. And it's called Black and Blue Fettuccine with Blackened New York Steak and Caesar Salad and then a dessert.
Nice. So, and what's the cost to participate?
So we just put the we just decided to do a little sale. So we put them on sale for
$25.
So we gave a reduced price for the first one because we thought people need to, you know, see what it's like the first time.
You test the water, and once you get people who, you know, really enjoy it, we can keep it going. And
So that's the 24th and the 26th.
Yes.
$25 a ticket.
You can get tickets online.
Okay.
If you need to come pay at the Panada, you can do that in the office as well. But, yeah, mainly they're sold online. And you'll have to pre-order because we don't have to tell the caterers how much food to cook. So it's not one of those Sandpoint wait till the last minute kind of things. Right. You have to plan ahead. But, you know.
They can't wait till Tuesday morning, right?
Tuesday morning would be the last that we could take them.
It's good to know.
So, but you know, it's a date night all wrapped up, and it's fun to be entertained in multiple levels and to come out and, you know, be social, sit with a group of people. And
it's no effort. You sit down, you get fed, and you get theater. And it's not going to be long. The shows, like I said, are about 30 minutes of theater, and dinner comes out right as you get there. So you'll be in and out in about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Nice.
So.
Cool.
So what is the actual order of events? You sit down, dinner comes to you, and then after everyone's been served, the lights kind of come down.
After you've had
a
chance to eat your dinner, the lights come down for dessert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So lights come down for dessert, and then the action starts.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh. That's fun.
Yeah.
And, we plan on some murder mystery things coming up and a great murder script coming up.
Murder is always good.
Murder is always good for dinner. And
as long as you're having a nice rare steak.
Yes. We're actually also working on a dinner theater at a castle, murder at a castle type theme coming up. So some will be not at the little theater, but most will be at the little theater. It's just kind of far away of getting that little theater a little more active. It's underutilized.
For sure.
And, you know, this next week you get the bonus of POAX unveiled art display in there. So
when you walk through.
Yeah.
You
just a little extra
gawk
art
on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally cool.
So.
What's going on this weekend? You got anything?
So when Lots of the 50s moved, you know, that was a big thing for the Panada. So we tried a older movie last year, and it didn't quite work. So we just went ahead and scheduled a Hologram for a King with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that could be just kind of an alternative if somebody's not going to a particular event. So we changed the times around. So Friday night it shows at 8:30, and then Saturday's at 5:30, and then Sunday's our normal Mimosa matinee at 3:30, so that if somebody wants to schedule around the concerts or what they're doing, then they can do that. So we have that going on, and some great things coming up.
How's the Mimosa matinee working out?
Really well.
Really good?
Really well. Like, it just started off. We were just talking about this. Everybody thought I was crazy, which they often do when I come up with these ideas. And then, but this one panned out very well. It started off with maybe 10, but now our lowest crowds are 35. Our typical crowds are 45 to 60.
Nice.
So people like it a lot.
I'm gonna check that out.
So,
yeah.
And we are introducing something new for the summer, and that is the BBC has given us Shakespeare, because it's Shakespeare, celebration of Shakespeare's 400th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So we have the BBC Shakespeare.
That old.
I know.
Uh-huh. That's a lot of candles on a cake.
It's a
Patricia.
Lot. It is a lot. Probably not going to light that inside
who's
the Panada.
Those candles out.
Yeah, not lighting those candles inside the Panada. But so we start off with King Lear on the 29th, and then every other Sunday we'll have that at 6:30, and it'll be free to the public. You just make a donation to the Panada to come in, but the movie itself is free.
Wow.
So we'll have a variety of Shakespeare I'm really looking for, I mean, there's just some great titles, and there, it seems to be a lot of fun. And there's some 1963, and then there's the current, Taming of the Shrew is a more current production, and they both look phenomenal. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Huh. Yeah, that's, I get, my question was going to be, so this, provided by the BBC, though.
BBC. These are BBC productions.
And, but, okay, so it's not like a movie theatrical release we might have seen before.
Yeah, you probably did see them. These are all, have all been seen before.
Okay.
But different for us because we get access to them without, you know, without the typical.
You don't have to move money.
You get them all as one.
So we'll announce what age they are and who the actors were that played them, but they're historical pieces in themselves.
Yeah.
Done, you know, and the BBC doesn't do anything halfway, so they were always done well. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch them again. So.
Are you playing, like, are some of them the long version? Like the 5 hour long?
Oh, no, I don't think we have a five.
No.
I haven't explored them all. They actually just arrived yesterday, so I wouldn't say that I've explored them all, but I don't remember anybody telling me 5 hours.
That's a little bit too much. You do a two-parter if you want to do that.
Yeah, we'd probably have to do that. So.
Yeah.
So the date should be up on our website soon.
The Dinner Theater, though, starts next week.
Starts next week. First one.
How many people can fit in there? How many tickets you got to sell?
We'll just keep expanding those tables till we have it maxed out. But
yeah.
We have a...
Do you know what the...
45 would be our capacity. The maximum. With tables.
We can fit somebody on the stage with us, but it might get weird. So.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We have tables up there.
We do have tables on the stage.
Yeah,
so.
we're not opposed to that.
We can be
a part of the
stage.
Action, I guess.
These guys are talented enough. We can improvise.
We'll make it work.
We'll give you a couple of lines if you want to sit. No, maybe that's a different show.
That's such a really good idea. Eric, how long have you been acting?
Well, it's a big question. That when I used to be here a long time. I used to live here about 11 years ago, and I got involved in the acting, and we did this murder at the castle at the little theater, and that was one of my first shows I ever did. And ever since then, I just kind of jumped in with Andrew Sorg and that crew and Chris Herron, and now that Chris Herron's writing, he allowed me to be one of his shows. And so since I've been back in the past year, I've been able to be in one of his shows, and then Rocky Horror, and now this. So... And I plan to just keep doing it because it's really great. There's a lot of theater in town, so there's a lot of need for other actors too. So if you're listening out there, you always want to be on stage. There's always something going on, so keep your eyes peeled.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So. We've had 3 film projects going with people, you know, running auditions and filming in our little theater lately. So actors up here actually have, you know, their choice of genres.
I saw there's a little thing in the paper about a call. I don't know what you call it. I don't know the acting business, right. But like a call
for auditions,
for auditions. And it was for 2 different things. So how do actors find out about what's coming up and what they might be interested in auditioning?
That's a really good question. It's not a really widely spread or marketed thing. You kind of have to know somebody, or you have to be seeking it out. That's one thing I've noticed in Sandpoint, at least. There's a lot of things that I don't know about. So trying to get involved with any of the production companies in Sandpoint and liking them on Facebook and seeing what's going to happen and watching for audition posters, that's really the only thing I can really say to do. There's no auditions happening anytime soon that I know about, even.
There's the Unknown Locals is one.
Right, that's the Chris Herron. Yes.
They have a summer production. Maddie. But I don't know if it's been cast, maybe.
I don't know. I know Chris, maybe shouldn't be even saying this, but he's almost done with his next script, and he's wanting to do a show. I don't know if has people in mind or he's going to do open auditions. I have no idea. And there's talk about other shows going to happen this summer that probably have no bodies in the parts yet, so yeah. I would just say just keep listening, keep looking.
When we were setting this up, we talked with a couple of the local groups to try and make sure that we weren't doing something over the top of anybody's productions. And right. I guess that's why I know about Chris's, but I don't know any of the details. On the film side of it, though, we have a group that meets at the Little Theater once a month, Sandpoint Film Festival Network, and they'll actually take your information and send out emails for actors that want to be involved with film. And the Panada, you know, I see some, we recently had an audition and a couple of the stage actors who are really great on stage, but stage and film are totally different. And so they came in to audition. They were a little uncomfortable with how to transition. So I've talked with the Filmmaker Network and the Panada is going to do some workshops for actors in the realm of stage makeup, screen makeup, acting for the screen, how to do an audition for the films, just kind of some crossover training. And we're going to keep them just as inexpensive as possible, but bring in some working professionals to do these classes.
Is there any kind of developed relationship with like the drama program at the high school? Okay.
Yeah. In fact, I've helped with their productions since I got here. And that's my genre. Well, I come from the Community Theater Network side and have worked with a lot with high schools and actually have a couple of the kids from her program are in the film network and actually have auditioned here locally for those films.
Nice.
There's some fun film projects coming up that that I hope to introduce at the Panada.
Very cool.
I said, you know, it'd be really awesome since I provided this space if I could be the premiere for this movie. So, you know, I just kind of hoping there. But I think it's fun to encourage all of the creative acts that are going on.
So, how do communities become locations for films that are shot? You know, I always, I love when I've watched a movie, I always stay for the credits because I'm always trying to figure out where was this filmed?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so many times it's in, well, it's obviously not here, but, you know, it's up in Canada or it's blah, blah, blah.
Montana.
Or,
so yeah, Idaho's Montana. A little different, and there's some political things that have kept Idaho from some of the incentives that other states can offer. So other states offer filming incentives, and Idaho does not. And there's a few regulations that make it a little more difficult. So that's why you don't see more Idaho films. There's like in, I believe it's Oregon, that's why there's so much that comes out of Portland, and that is they offer more incentives. So, you know, it's something that we miss the boat on. And I think every year they try to get a little further ahead on that score. And, you know, I'm not the most abreast of what happened this last legislative session, but I do know that they were trying some more things again to get Idaho a little more recognition. We have been contacted by someone out of LA that is filming in the area. They've already scouted and they've picking some, you know, and people don't realize there's a lot of secondary income that comes in. Idaho Grip Truck gets rented out often for things, productions like that that come to Idaho, whether they be commercials or movies. You know, there are people that get employed in other areas, plus the, you know, they stay in hotels and they eat dinner and those types of things. So there's some secondary income that we're missing out by not being that.
I remember local boy who lives in L.A. now, Jeff Bach, did a movie here maybe 4 years ago, summertime. Anyway.
In Sandpoint?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah. Do you know Jeff?
I do not.
Did you go through high school here?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Louisiana boy.
You know, and we can never lose track of the fact that Viggo Mortensen was on the Panada stage.
Right.
Before he was such a huge hit, so...
That's true.
I think he even got his... Someone told me he got his call on the stage and had to leave the production, actually. So I wasn't here, obviously, for that part.
Yeah. So. Are you guys still showing that Hemingway movie?
It just ended. Yeah. It just ended.
Did you go see that, Jack?
I didn't, no. But I know it was Hemingway in Cuba, and I was thinking they could have done... Maybe there's a sequel. Hemingway in Ketchum, Idaho.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, part about Idaho was not that one does not end well. And this film kind of highlighted his path towards that. And, you know, for every yin, there's a yang. And for that creative genius, there was a flip side that was very difficult to his life. So,
but did he commit suicide in Idaho?
He did.
Ketchum.
Okay, that wasn't, I thought you were just making it up.
No. Oh, no, and I was kind of assuming everyone knew, sorry. But yeah, he took his life in Ketchum, Idaho.
I didn't know that.
Spoiler alert.
I grew up in that part of the country, so I was always kind of around that and his family, and so it was a very sad.
Huh. Yeah. Well, that's, we took a turn there. We're almost out of time, but let's say one more time, Dinner Theory. Oh, did you mention the titles?
I was
going to
say, I don't know the titles.
So, Karma Comes Calling is one of them, and Press Reset.
Okay. And this is like world premiere.
Absolutely. Never been seen before. So, there you go. Mm-hmm. You get the exclusive scoop.
Yeah.
I have two other exclusive scoops if you'd like them.
Yes.
About things happening at the Panada.
Sure.
So we're going to have a celebration of Prince's life on June 7th.
Yes.
With Purple Rain.
Nice.
So he was Jehovah's Witness, so we want to honor, not call it a birthday celebration, but that is the day he entered this world. And so we're going to have a little celebration of his life and show Purple Rain. And we're inviting area musicians, if they have a Prince song that they'd like to come perform before the movie, we're going to open that up for that. Uh-huh. And then we are the exclusive stop for Gallagher's final tour. So Gallagher will be on the
comedian? Really?
Whoa. He'll be on the Canada stage with a watermelon and lots of plastic
sheeting.
September 20th. So we are his only stop. He wanted a historical theater. So we're only his only stop up here.
Wow. Congratulations for that. Really?
Won't be in Spokane.
So, my goodness.
See, he and Artie Fletcher are on their way to Sandpoint, Idaho.
The real Gallagher or his brother?
The real Gallagher.
Okay. He's got a brother who, never mind. It's a really interesting story.
Interesting.
The real Gallagher.
He's going to have the Sledge-O-Matic.
With his
watermelons on our stage, and there'll be a splash zone and a little safer zone and a you're pretty safe zone in our.
I mean, he came here a long time ago, but he didn't do the Sledge-O-Matic.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, this is like 6-7 years ago. I remember that, and I was very disappointed.
Yes. It's a full bore, and it's his final tour. This is the last time you're ever going to see him live. So.
No kidding.
Well, how about that?
So tickets will be on sale soon for that.
For what was the date again?
September 20th.
Okay.
And not if for a while. We get a big enough crowd, he'll stay till the 21st because he gave us actually 2 days if we wanted.
Nice.
Wow. Good man.
June 7th is the Prince.
June 7th
the showing
is
of Purple Rain.
Rain,
and possibly, maybe, hopefully, some local musicians.
And then somebody just told me that it's Ferris Bueller's day off is an anniversary this summer, that's the other classic
of the actual day off, probably.
Yeah, so that's.
You think Ben Stein will show?
We're working on it.
Oh man, you'd think so.
And just do a quick Bueller.
Yeah,
I mean,
you would think so.
I would think so. I mean, maybe he's listening right now.
Most likely, yeah.
There we go.
Well, Eric, did you have one more thing you wanted to say?
I was going
to
say, we're talking about auditions and in-area actors or people want to be actors. One name we didn't throw out, the American Laboratory Theater, they do a workshop in the summer for people who are currently actors, people who want to just explore the world of acting and find their inner actor. And they're also doing a summer performance, I believe. Can't quote me on that, but they do a lot of marketing on their Facebook page and their website. So check them out on Facebook, American Laboratory Theater, and you'll probably find some open auditions there too. So I just want to make sure that people are aware of all the options in town.
Uh huh.
So
well, that is another option.
Yeah.
The tickets are now on sale for Dinner Theater.
They're on sale. The sale price is posted on our website, so you can get them at the sale price today.
And that's going to do it for the morning show. We've actually gone over.
Look at that.
Yeah, you'll have to look at Sandpoint Online for the upcoming events for the weekend. The big one, of course, is Lost in the 50s, and it starts right now on KRFY with 50s music. Actually, no. First, it's going to be the Beach Boys with Wouldn't It Be Nice, the big hit off of Pet Sounds, which is 50 years old. And then it's going to be 50s music all day long and all weekend long until Sunday afternoon. So stay tuned for that. Thanks, everybody.
Killer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Patricia.
Thank you guys for having us.
Good morning.
Come and see us.
Hope to see you.
Oh, yeah.
You.